Audio Kitchen.
You won't believe the static.
The audio kitchen.
Yes, it's running. You can't hear it. You can't hear it go round when you're recording. But when you're rewinding or something, you can.
Testing. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Okay, now we shut the door.
Tell it like it is, Professor.
Hush, my darling. Don't fear, my darling. The Audio Kitchen is on the air. We're rolling. The professor here, your host. Head curator, the master of ceremony, maybe the moisture of ceremonies today. Here in the New York metropolitan area, it's warm. Sultry, warm, uncomfortable. I woke up and my bed was on fire. Oh, well. It's another show of I think mostly found material today. Tapes and things found in junk stores. thrift shops, waste paper baskets. And sometimes found right out of thin air, sort of. Like that last song, the Lion Sleeping. That was downloaded from Napster. Remember Napster? Oh, it was so much fun, Napster. Rest in peace, Napster. Well, as I announced way back when, a few months ago, I guess, me and my associates were busy downloading found audio off of Napster. Pilfering the hard drives of unknowing computer users. And back then, at that time, I had been a little secretive about it. Well, no need to be a secret anymore. These tracks all had the name Mic in Track. That's M-I-C as in microphone. Mic in Track. And the way this would happen is there's a little bit of software out there called Music Match. And with this software, people make MP3s, mostly from compact discs. And you can play them, and I don't know. I don't have the software, but I've heard about it. And another way you can make MP3s with this software was with a microphone plugged into your system. And the name it would give the song, track, piece of sound that you would make is Mic and Track. Mic and Track 1, 2, and then it would add a bunch of numbers. And it was pretty crazy, too, because, well, it's still going on, but you just can't get them like you used to because Napster is pretty much no more. But it was kind of strange because if you registered your name for the Music Match, it would create a folder with your name. And, like, if your name was, let's say, you know, Joe Jones, it would be Joe Jones' Greatest Hits would be the folder that these would go in. And it would all match with the Napster thing. So when you were on Napster, you didn't even know it, perhaps, but these tracks would be going right out there to the rest of the world. Well, that's how these things got downloaded. And sometimes they would be open microphones. People didn't know how to use this software, and that's what we're going to hear. Well, we're going to hear a couple things like that right now. Both featuring teenage girls. These girls here are just a little younger than the girls we'll hear in a minute. But I don't know what country this is in. This is a very strange accent to me. Could be South Africa, could be New Zealand. If you know, write me at theprof, WFMU.org, all that. But one girl is on the computer, and she thinks she's making an MP3 or downloading one, but she's really recording herself. And her sister comes home. And her sister's in trouble because she wasn't home on time. You'll hear a little bit about that. And then as they think they're making a CD or an MP3, they're sitting in front of the computer shoving food into their mouths, and this is what happened.
Mum rang about an hour ago, and she said, and I said you weren't home. You're dead.
What?
Mum rang about an hour ago, and I said you weren't home, and she said you were in trouble then. Then she rang back about half an hour ago, and you're not in trouble, not home, and you're in heaps more trouble.
So she rang half an hour ago?
2:30. I mean, yep, 2:30.
Talking to Rebecca.
No, wait, Rebecca's on the computer. I've been asking her where you are.
Didn't she say, wasn't it her that I waved to in the bathroom?
No.
We got home at about 2, right? So I'm going to go.
Jess, I was home here at 2.
Yeah, no, I walked past home at 2.
You didn't, when I got home, your bag was at the front door. You were home before 2.
No, I wasn't.
Anyway, don't touch the computer because I'm on it and I'm saying it
is
recording and I
can't see it.
No, it's
on the iPhone.
Mm-hmm. How long does this song go for?
Arrows exist.
Arrows?
I don't know. These are all the ones that didn't get finished, are they?
Uh-huh.
Do you even get to them, or the ones that you started to download that didn't finish?
Mm-hmm. Incomplete. These are my ones. Do you know how to make your own music matchbook?
Go on to Naxos and show me something. Turns out Tony Lee Scott downloaded.
It did.
It did? When? Can you play?
No, I'm not playing anything like this one. Do you know how to save your own? Do you want me to show you?
Yeah.
Okay. Choose. Choose all your songs you want and just put them in there. Don't play any of them.
Are you doing this onto a CD?
Yeah.
Really?
It might work, but...
Oh, cute. How many can you have?
I know I have 10.
Actually, I don't want that one.
Is Dad coming to our...
I don't know where to have
it. Ready?
No, I'm not finished.
Oh, who cares?
No.
See what I downloaded?
Yeah.
So funny. You heard it?
What is that?
Yay!
Oh, I didn't mean to do that.
I didn't get up.
Does that mean we don't have them on the computer anymore, though?
And then you go to like...
Have you got a CD in there at the moment?
It's still going. Maybe it's just a long song.
I only need to do... Well, it's not very long. Yeah.
There it is.
And then what do
I do? Music back.
And then how do you download it onto CD? What?
So I'm trying to do now. You go options. Record, control, start, player, play control, record, Well, we're leaving in about an hour.
Well, that's not exactly the most fascinating piece of audio I've ever played. Certainly how it came to be on the show is so modern. Do you know what country would give somebody such an accent? What kind of prep school or something would do that to somebody? I don't know, but you could hear the mechanics of it there. That she thought she was... She could see that the software was still running and she thought she was burning a CD or downloading something, but actually she was recording herself. And then when she went on Napster, she was offering that recording to the world. And you heard it. I think they were shoveling like Little Debbie cakes into their faces or something. Some kind of cellophane-wrapped snacking material. By the way, in case you didn't know, this is the Audio Kitchen. Unprofessional sounds and unprofitable audio. Once a week, here on Wednesdays, it happens. Here's one more track like that. This one was rather long, and I chopped it down a little bit. I actually downed a few of these open mic scenarios. I actually have 40 minutes of a Northern Michigan teenage bedroom, boys talking dirty and listening to an album rock station. That's not so much fun. This is better. This again is two young ladies, a little older than the two we just heard. And I think they're American, perhaps Canadian. And as it starts out, the one girl, I think her name is Rachel, the one who is on the computer with her friend, and they are in her bedroom. You can even hear, like, the sound of the dresser drawer opening and closing. It's kind of intimate, you know? You hear the door squeaking and so forth. And she's playing a Britney Spears song she's just downloaded from Napster. For her friend, she's playing it. She loves it. Great song. And then, well, this was recorded, I believe, around the beginning of April. At least that's when I downloaded it. And again, these people have no idea, or at least they didn't at the time, I think, that this bit of an open mic was available to the world and to the Audio Kitchen. So they're looking for something to do on the internet. So they go into a Survivor chat room. Personally, me, I've never been in a chat room. And it sounds just about as ridiculous as I would think it would sound. The first message they see is, any horny girls want to talk about Survivor, which is what you would expect, right? So they take the bait, these two girls. And it's interesting to hear an audio account of a chat room, because they're talking about it as it's going on. And they engage this gentleman in internet conversation. And they're going on about all the characters and whether Rachel looks better than, I think her name is Elizabeth, who is one of the people on Survivor. I didn't catch the show, okay? I know the general idea. So then she decides to send her a photograph of somebody else as a joke. You hear that. And I think they're planning a party for later on. At the end, Rachel's boyfriend or one of their boyfriends comes in. You can hear a little smoochy smooch. And then it all ends with a Britney Spears song again, like a big sandwich.
I like this song. It's a Britney Spears-y song. I loved it. Dang, I knew I should have bought the pastern's animal. Let's see. How much is it per share?
It probably went, I think it's running about 51 now. 52. It's like down to 48 last week. It's like, ooh, I should have bought it.
Rachel.
Yeah.
How did you find out about
John? She didn't. I was just testing her.
So she doesn't know. So you just asked her.
Right.
You're so deep. How did you tell me?
Should we go in the Survivor chat room?
Yeah.
Check it out, man. I want to wear that sweater again, but I can't. Somebody's already seen it.
Any horny girls want to
This one's a survivor. Oh, no, it's a different one.
What should I put?
For what?
No, they're all bashing Amber and Jerry.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what for me. I'm so glad they got kicked out.
But Elizabeth is just as much a bitch as Jerry.
Uh-oh. What happened now?
Because there's a girl named... Her room name is Elizabeth Fan.
It's probably the real Elizabeth.
She's probably talking about her.
Shucky, are you brain dead? Shucky, are you brain dead? No, I'm not.
No, I'm not Cody. Not yet, am I?
No, I'm not brain dead, I just hit my head. But I hate everyone on that show except for the host.
The guy that burned his hands. I really like him.
Goodbye.
Why did they say goodbye?
Because somebody left.
Oh. He says goodbye to them? He's really nice.
Five pinball?
I need to have a different color so I can stand out like fuchsia. I put... They're all, Elizabeth is hot, and I put, Elizabeth isn't as hot as I am.
Not that loud.
Get over yourself. Send a pic then? How do I send a picture?
Say, okay. Oh, damn, too bad we don't picture Janet Reno.
That would be so fun. Where's that picture of Janet Reno? Say, okay, you have to hold on so I can scan it. I can see it.
Do we look like tech support? Do you have an address, Shucky, on the net?
Shucky?
No.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe. Oh, you can paste it in your mail and then send it to a picture. To a picture person.
Oh, is that okay? I get it. See, he's like talking to you private.
Yeah, I know. Oh, okay. Can't type at all. Okay, now what do I do? Can I see if you're prettier than it is? Although I doubt you are.
Oh, they're fine. Screw you.
A faithful man.
So I hope you're a man. Are you a man?
Hmm. to go to settings.
You got mail.
I got mail. Hello? Actually, ever since you called the last time, we've been trying to figure this thing out on the computer. And it's so funny, we can't figure it out. Well, Rachel's trying to send a picture to somebody via email. And we have no idea. I guess not. I don't know. She's talking to them online. And I don't know. Anyway, that's pretty funny, yeah. Kind of stupid when it comes to computers. Yeah, I think you do. Cool. You're done taking your shower. What? Rock on. All right. Well, no kidding. No, I am. I'm ready. I'll wait outside for you. We'll be outside. Well, you know, that would be great, but we actually have like 50 people at our house tonight, so. That's all right. It's no big deal. But cool. I'll see you in a few. Okay, bye.
Here?
I'm having problems.
Yeah, sure.
Thank you.
Sure.
Yes.
Gringle?
Yes.
Goodbye.
We gotta go back to my house first.
Oh, hey, there's me.
Yeah, there's you.
What are you doing?
Oh, nothing. I'm closing this. Hang on, you gotta hear this. Britain. I like it. But it only has like a couple
of seconds. So what do you want to do tonight, huh?
I get the feeling that Rachel doesn't know that was originally a Rolling Stone song. That's just a feeling I get. Instead, it's just the new Britney song. I don't really know any Britney songs, well, other than that one now. But I saw a picture of her somewhere the other day. A rather low waistband she was featuring. A low waistband. But Rachel, she can sure pound on that keyboard, eh? A fast typer. All those AOL sounds or whatever they were. The kind of thing, the first thing I would do is stop my computer from making sounds like that. What a sense of humor, too. Sending this fella, the fella who was trolling for horny chicks, sending him a picture of Janet Reno. Speaking of Janet Reno, let's get back to that therapy session. Debbie, remember her? Debbie, the sad Florida lesbian. This is the last segment you'll be hearing from that therapy session on this show. The first segment featured, I believe, her relationship with Chris, the cold woman who just wanted her for sex, and she broke up with her. And then last week we heard about Roger and what was the couple. She was in love with this girl and she introduced her to her friend Roger, and that was a big mess. Well, here we hear about her friends Liz and Rhonda. Lesbians as well. And Rhonda is attracted to Debbie. And Debbie's a little put off because Rhonda comes to her at one point and says, "Hey, are you single?" When it ends up that Rhonda wasn't single at all, she's living with Liz. And they have two children. I'm not sure how they did it, how they ended up with the children. There are some tricks where lesbians could have children, I suppose. But Debbie ends up just being best friends with Rhonda. That's what we hear about here. Which ends up being trouble again. More trouble for Debbie. Because Liz and Rhonda have a rocky relationship. Real rocky. And one time when the relationship was particularly rocky, they dragged Debbie into it and brought her, and she had her come over there. And she's waiting outside in her truck. Debbie drives a truck, by the way. And she finally goes in, and it's hell in there. Holes in the wall, and Liz is screaming, and everybody's crying and yelling. And it's a mess. Lesbians at war. So we'll hear a little bit about that. And then next week, we'll hear the answering machine tape that also belonged to Debbie. So all of these people we've heard about during this therapy session, we'll hear their voices right here on the show, including Liz and maybe Rhonda. I'm not sure.
It matters in the beginning when I really like someone, I stay away from them because I think, let them prove themselves. And then if I really like them to begin with, they have to be outstanding for me to interact because I know that I'll create all these things. And sometimes, I'm thinking about my friend Rhonda. I met Rhonda and I was attracted to her. So, you know, we just exchanged numbers, and then months later she called me and said she's single and I'm single, and I get really insulted when someone asks me if I'm single, because I feel like that shouldn't be criteria, you know? Well, I guess... Well, that's what I figured too, and I just figured how blood, you know, blade...
It's a way of, it's not necessarily very stylish.
Yeah, that's how I feel. I just feel
not a lot of seduction. Just kind of,
so
you're ready, you know, you're available.
So I was kind of flattered and I was kind of put off that she put it like that. So I started spending time with her and I noticed something wasn't right, so I stopped. And she was real persistent. And then I started figuring out she hadn't really broke up with her girlfriend. But her girlfriend was real nice too, and I thought, I liked them both. And I thought, I just wanted her to be honest with me. I mean, I don't care. You know, I thought I would like to be friends with her because I could talk to her. And this went on for a while. And then the next semester, she moved back, and her girlfriend, she said something. And I did everything in my power to make it perfectly understood that her girlfriend was not an issue. So I said, well, why don't you and Liz and the girls come over? You know, and have a beer or something. If you're done moving, you're welcome to use my truck. So she did, and after that was okay. And
Rhonda was my best friend for a couple years. And then her and her girlfriend, I knew they used to fight, but I never, you know, I would see bruises and stuff on Rhonda, but I wouldn't think fighting. So they have two little girls, and I really love the girls. Rhonda had me go home with her. You've got 2 years right at the best. But Rhonda had me drive her to Tampa. She didn't have a car. She's a pharmacy student. Her and Liz were fine. She wanted to pick up her things. I said, Rhonda, I really don't want to be involved in this. I don't want to do this. Oh, please, Deb, I just want to go get my things. That's all. And I said, if you promise me that's all you're going to do, because I don't want to sit there while you're fighting. It'll be a half hour, go in, go out. So I said, I don't want to do it. You can take my truck and do it yourself. No, I want you to go with me. So I said, okay. And I went with her. And I sat in the car for over an hour. This was like 2 o'clock in the morning. So I went inside, and I told her, I said, you know, I'm tired of waiting. And I walked in the house. There were holes in the walls. Liz is screaming. She's trying to kill me. And the two girls are sleeping in the bed. So I didn't know what to do, and I thought, gosh, you know, this needs to be reported to child abuse. And I thought, I can't do this because this is my friend. And I thought, God, these girls, it's going to really affect them. So I called the police, and I told them that there was a severe fight, and I didn't know what to do. And they sent someone over. And Rhonda is such a good liar. You know, she acted like there was no problem. Oh, she was just gonna leave. So Rhonda gets in the car. Because I told her, I said, when the police came, well, Rhonda was really pissed that I called the police. And we get in the car. And I told her, I said, I'm really disappointed in you. I didn't want to be involved in this. You did it anyway. And I said, not to mention the two girls. And I said, do you have any idea what this is doing to them? Oh, the girls were asleep. I said, Rhonda, I heard you a block down the road. Those girls did not sleep through that. Oh, don't tell me that. My mother and father used to fight too, and look how I turned out. I said, yes, look how you turned out. Look at the bruises on your body. Look at the holes in your wall. And she just got really upset with me and told me that I was the person going to see the psychologist and I had no right to tell her anything about how to live her life and blah, blah, blah. So I also told her, I said, do you realize if this were reported to HRS, there would be serious investigation on this? Oh, what are you going to do? Call HRS? Well, I hate to tell you that, she went on. So I said, I wouldn't do it, and I said, but if I had a backbone, I would. So we went home, and I didn't call her or talk to her for a couple weeks, and she kept calling. And I don't know why she kept calling. But I guess, you know, I just kind of let it slide. Because she was persistent, and you know, I thought she was my best friend.
All right, here we go.
That was Leslie. Leslie and her friend, maybe her sister. I have another tape of Leslie's doing the time of my life, I think.
That's bad.
Yeah, it was bad. You are attuned to the Audio Kitchen here on WFMU. Howdy. If you have some amateur sound, homemade recording, something you've discovered, perhaps you've taken some part in making it, you can send it my way. The address is The Audio Kitchen, care of WFMU, and it's a post office box, 2011, in Jersey City, New Jersey, 07303. Jersey City on the lovely Hudson River. And if you'd like to communicate with me, that would be just great. It would be fine. You can do it through the computer. My email address is theprof@wfmu.org. And I do enjoy hearing from listeners. I answer my email. And if you've just come across this show, somehow gotten addicted to the show, we can talk about it. It's okay.
This is a pretty drive here, isn't it? Hey, there's some rocks over there. These are funny looking rocks, aren't they? This is a nice highway though. Double A. Look at this. Look at this. Oh, isn't that something? Look at those. Oh. Oh, isn't that a beauty? What a relief, isn't it, to know that we've got a motel to go to? It is really quite a relief.
Time once again to join our traveling friends, Fred and Arlene Walls. Wall to Wall America, a regular feature here in the Audio Kitchen. It's late 1974, I think October. And we're in Texas. That's where we are with them. And this is kind of a different episode of The Walls here. Instead of freeway babbling and pointing out everything that he sees out the windshield, this time it's more of a recounting. The motel musings of Jim Walls. Did I say Fred a minute ago? Fred is a guy who's in the backseat sometimes, but this is Jim. Initial J. But they're camping out in Corpus Christi, have a nice room. That's where they're at now. And they've been out picking up shells and rocks and watching people having fun on the pier. They like those shell shops. You know how you go to those souvenir places and you see these things, these clocks and things with shells glued all over them? That's the kind of thing that Arlene would buy. So they're in their Corpus Christi motel. I think he says the name here. And they're sipping on Southern Comfort, watching the Beverly Hillbillies. At first, he says Petticoat Junction. And that seems like such a perfect show for the walls to watch, for some reason to me. You know Petticoat Junction is like one of their favorite shows. But they are having a great time. No doubt in my mind, they're having fun. Sincere, unironic fun.
Well, this morning we started out, this is Friday morning, the 18th. We started out, had continental breakfast downstairs. We had a sweet roll, coffee, and juice, orange juice or mixture. Yeah, continental breakfast, and it was 50 cents a piece. So, we takes off, we went downtown, and we saw the museum, Corpus Christi Museum. That's right next to the Art Museum of Southern Texas. And then it's right under a big bridge down there, the bridge that's on number 181, and it goes over to the next Aransas Pass or Port Aransas or something up above us. It crosses the bay, Corpus Christi Bay. So we stayed there under the bridge and watched the ships, a big ship come in and a big barge and stuff. And there's where the port, shipping port is there, receiving the port of Corpus Christi. And we had a great time there. They were fishing and everything. We stuck around there for a while, took some pictures. By that time it was 1:30. And we were figuring on going to the Padre Island, but we never made it. We went to eat. We stopped at the Peking house restaurant and had Chinese food. And then we went down on the beach near the big Holiday Inn down there. And right on the beach we walked, what's the name of it? Ocean Drive, yeah. McGee Beach or something? McGee Beach, yeah.
And we stayed there until almost 5:30.
Yeah, we stayed there until almost 5:30, and we were picking shells and watching people fish, and what a great time picking up pebbles, you know, different kind of minerals, precious stones, minerals and stuff. And what a beautiful time. Took a few. Yeah, we had a couple of nice shells that they had fiddler or hermit crabs were in them. You couldn't get them off the. Yeah, and then we had a couple of those nice snail eyes out here, shark eyes, I guess they call them. Or, and somebody took them off our porch out here at our motel. And a nice, perfect one, you know. And, we had a great time today. Now we're back and having a couple Southern Comforts and watching Petticoat Junction. Beverly Hillbillies, that's what we're watching. We're going to clean up. Yeah, we washed our shoe feet off, the sand off and everything, and we're getting ready to go and eat again. I think we'll go over to the Peking house again. That was great over there. That was so nice, and the food was reasonable. Out here in the back, the sunset was so beautiful, I had to take a slide picture just a couple of minutes ago of the palm trees and everything in our backyard. And the sunset, that was really nice.
Just hearing his voice, you can kind of hear, feel that warm southern comfort feeling. That glow that comes up your spine and turns into a warm, friendly grin. Sweet and strong. Back then, Southern Comfort was 100 proof, too. It's funny, too, to hear him talking about going to the Peking house. And, of course, now Peking is Beijing. And it's hard to remember, but back a few decades ago like that, Chinese was actually kind of exotic. There wasn't like a fast Chinese place everywhere. And no doubt for them it was exotic and exciting. Like Texas. Well, I promised last week that I would play a little Clyde, and we're going to hear from Clyde for a moment. Clyde was a regular feature here in the Audio Kitchen when I came on the air with this show, like, not quite 2 years ago yet, back in 1999. And Clyde was doing a couple things back when he was making these recordings. He was running a video store, and he was conducting a relationship with a married woman. All in Florida, and it was 1984. It was on these two Maxell 120s. All this stuff. And here's a nice little bit of stuff here. He's got his telephone set up to record all of his incoming calls at this time. So a fellow named Bill calls up, looking for videotapes. And Clyde doesn't seem to know what Bill is talking about or really care. And he's like, "Can you tell me which videos they're?" But they're the special tapes. The ones Clyde had to bring in. They weren't at the store.
Video Mart. Hello? 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 Video Mart.
Yeah, someone speaking to please.
Clyde.
Brian.
Clyde.
Oh, yeah, Clyde. This is Bill Kirby.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you remember who I am or not.
Not right offhand, though.
You were getting some movies for me.
Okay, Bill, what were the movies?
The ones you had to bring in.
Oh, hi, Bill. Hi, hi, hi. Yeah, I had another guy, so I've got him down here today if you want to come down.
Okay, I may be in this evening, but I don't know what time I'm getting off. The reason I'm calling, I've got people here at work.
Mm-hmm.
And I was telling them about your Mart and stuff. And,
mm-hmm.
I know the fee I had to pay was $100.
$99, yeah. We've got another one now at $24.95 per year. It's the most expensive way to go because after 4 years, you've paid the $100 and you still got six more years you got to pay, you know?
Okay, they were interested now, like, as far as in your adult movies.
Uh-huh.
I told them I thought there was like 900 movies.
There's closer to 1,000.
Closer to 1,000?
Mm-hmm. About $75,000 worth.
And do you have also exercise videos that you rent?
Some. A lot of people buy those, so they're in and out quite a bit. You know, I can't keep them in real good. It's not as if they go out and come back constantly. They go out and stay out some of the time.
What I may do when I stop in is get one of your cards.
Mm-hmm.
Post it on the bulletin board here at the plant, because we got over 700, almost 800 employees.
You're talking my language, bud. Come on in and see me, okay?
Okay.
Take care.
And we leave you with this thought.
Bill was looking for exercise videos and adult movies. Those were the early days of video stores. Back when you could be an independent operator. Speaking of independent operators, this is an independent operation around here, WFMU East Orange. Pretty independent. In our independent sister station, where we also broadcast from, WXHD, Mount Hope. Next week, we'll hear more of Ellen Schneider and her sister. I think this time they interview Raggedy Andy or something. And we'll hear Debbie's therapy, her answering machine tape. Coming up next, it's Trash, Twang, and Thunder. with the professor. Huh.
Goodbye.